We're elevating how Texas banks. Texas Capital Bank. Member FDIC. TexasCapitalBank.com.
Welcome to Sports Day Cowboys, a podcast all about the Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by the Dallas Morning News. I'm Michael Gelkin.
And I'm Calvin Watkins. We're two Cowboys beat writers having a weekly real talk conversation about the latest with the team, including interviews, analysis, and debate. The team has signed wide receiver T.Y. Hilton. That won't solve all its problems.
While the Cowboys didn't lose to the Texans on Sunday, they certainly lost some people. Right tackle Terrence Steele, nose tackle Jonathan Hankins among them. What does the future hold at that right tackle spot between Josh Ball and Jason Peters? Also, we explore how Hilton fits this offense. And are we concerned about Dak Prescott's interceptions? 9 now in 8 games.
The Cowboys have 4 games remaining in the regular season, and the quest to win the NFC East is nearing its end. This weekend, Dallas goes to Florida to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Will the Cowboys eat the cheese again? Michael and I will discuss what that means. And also, Michael Gelkin interviews the rising talent on the defense, Damone Clark.
Sports Day Cowboys starts next.
You have a 3-year plan and a 30-year plan. At Texas Capital Bank, we've transformed our bank to offer solutions that will grow with you. From enhanced treasury management and corporate banking to personal banking and wealth management, we're dedicated to delivering the full-service support you need to secure the growth and success of your business. All from a full-service financial firm founded and headquartered in Dallas, Texas. Texas Capital Bank. Member FDIC. TexasCapitalBank.com.
Welcome back to Sports Day Cowboys. The injuries, after having really been a healthy season for the Cowboys overall in the NFL, really health is relative. Anthony Brown, they lost against the Indianapolis Colts for the season, a torn Achilles. Now the next week, right tackle Terrence Steele suffers a left ACL and MCL tear. He's out for the season. And Jonathan Hankins strains a pectoral muscle. He's out for the regular season. Calvin, what concerns you right now about where the Cowboys stand medically, be it offensive tackle, run defense there with Hankins gone, or cornerback sans Anthony Brown? What concerns you most?
The cornerback position concerns me the most. They've been so inconsistent without Anthony Brown, and I was kind of surprised that they started Deron Bland in that game against the Texans last week, but defensive coordinator Dan Quinn explained it. It was a certain package that they liked defensively. That's why Bland started over Kelvin Joseph. Joseph struggled again as an outside corner. This is something that's going to, is going to bother them for the rest of the regular season and into the playoffs. But the positive thing about this is Joseph will get the reps, but you hope that he doesn't get burned enough times. It's going to cost him a game, especially in the postseason.
So the Cowboys essentially told us on Sunday with their usage at cornerback that they believe Deron Bland is a better cornerback than Kelvin Joseph today, which I don't think is a surprise. It's something that we saw during training camp. It's something that we saw in the preseason. And then when they're in that nickel defense, Deron Bland goes from a starting outside, base corner to back into that nickel spot. And then We saw Kelvin Joseph as the outside guy. So if you have to have two corners on the field, Cowboys were choosing Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland, and only when they needed 3 did they put Kelvin Joseph on the field to be the outside guy. They don't see him as more of the slot type. I'm with you that I think it's a concern, even though Joseph, he's going to get better as he goes. In the third down pass breakup was critical. That is worth highlighting. But yeah, I think the consistency question is valid there at what they're going to get. But at least you have a pass rush to help Kelvin Joseph. On the offensive line, Terrence Steele, I don't think we can overlook or gloss over just how huge of a loss that is for this offensive line, for this run game, for this offense as a whole. Terrence Steele is the type of guy that if you're a coach, you want 53 of them. You look at his improvement from the time that he arrived in 2020. He twice won an award in the offseason for strength and conditioning. Just a guy who just enjoys the process of getting better. And he's got that physicality, the tone-setting attitude that the Cowboys are really going to miss now on their offensive line. We can talk about Jason Peters' Hall of Fame credentials. We can talk about, you know, Josh Ball and what he may or may not be able to do. But what's certain is that they're going to lack the physicality that Terrence Steele brings. And we're talking about December, January football. Terrence Steele is exactly the type of guy that you want on the field. And now that's no longer possible.
Now, Terrence Steele is a self-made man. And when they let go of Lyle Collins, who was their previous starting right tackle, the reality was there was some concerns about that position. And here comes Terrence Steele, and I thought he earned that job. He definitely earned that job, and he deserved a job. But I'm not as overly concerned about it as you are. I mean, Jason Peters is a Hall of Fame left tackle. He has played right tackle before. It's been a while since he has been at that position. But and I think, and you're going to tell me the last time he played it. I know you are. But if you put him out there at right tackle against the Jaguars with Josh Ball, who had his struggles in the Texans game last week, they'll be fine. And when he's going to get about 4 weeks of reps, I'm talking about Jason Peters here, at right tackle. And the reality is you're getting Jason Peters ready for the wild card round when they play Tampa Bay. That's the bottom line here. And Jason Peters will get enough reps. He'll be in a much better rhythm when they're playing in January, when the season's on the line, than he will be right now. So I'm not as overly concerned as you are. Am I concerned? Yeah, I am, but it's not at the top of the list for me.
Well, I look at the last time Jason Peters played extensive reps at right tackle. It was a start on October 22nd, 2006. Tyler Smith was five years old back then. It's been quite a while. Lee Evans, Peerless Price, J.P. Losman, Willis McGahee, some of the Buffalo Bills who were starting with Jason Peters that day against a Patriots team that included big play Rashay Caldwell at wide receiver, Troy Brown.
Big play Rashay Caldwell, big play.
Corey Dillon, some guy named Tom Brady was playing back then. Started on defense, the like of Teddy Bruschi, Junior Seau, Mike Vrabel, who's now a head coach of the Tennessee Titans. This is all very long time ago, and there's a lot of muscle memory that over the course of that time, Jason Peters is built as a left tackle. And so it's not just an easy thing to say, all right, Jason Peters, you have worked extensively on the left side of the offensive line since you signed here, left guard, left tackle. We're just going to have you be the right tackle moving forward. It'll be a lot to put all of that on his shoulders, even if he's a Hall of Fame type of guy. So, and Peters would be the first one to tell you that. So Josh Ball, you would think would be involved as well. But either way, you're looking at Jason Peters, Zach Martin, and now Tyron Smith coming back from his hamstring tendon tear back in August. Very likely the Cowboys have three future Hall of Fame offensive linemen on the field for them Sunday.
And that's what you said, future Hall of Famers. Jason Peters is going to be on the right side. We believe Tyron Smith will be ready for the Jags game. Jerry Jones said that this week on the radio that he believes Tyron will be back playing. Obviously, our boy Zach Martin's going to be out there at guard. So I don't think this is the end of the world by losing Terrence Steele. I mean, they have Jason Peters. There was a reason why they signed this guy, because the possibility that he could swing at both tackle spots and play guard. I don't think it's the end of the world here. Yes, you make it seem like Terrence Steele is going to Hall of Fame too. You might have to say four Hall of Famers.
There's no way that you can look at the film and see this Cowboys run game and not think that Terrence Steele is a huge loss to this team.
Oh, it is. It is. It is a huge loss. But I'm not saying that I'm jumping off the cliff because they lost Terrence Steele. They signed Jason Peters for a reason. Am I right?
Not to play right tackle. Not like this in December and January. That was not the vision. It was get by while Tyron Smith was on the mend. And now Tyron Smith is back, and we're talking about Jason Peters being involved as part of the right tackle plan. That was not the plan for the Cowboys. That was not the vision. Let's move on, though.
That was not the vision, but football players play football. They'll be fine. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you for establishing that. Dak Prescott.
No problem.
9 interceptions in 8 games. He had 2 this past Sunday against the Houston Texans that a lot of people didn't think would be as close as it was. We'll get to that later, Calvin, but interceptions for Dak Prescott, not all his fault, but Are you concerned with what we're seeing there, but the lack of ball security?
Yeah, I am. Some of these interceptions, and Michael, you've covered football a long time like I have. Some of it is the receiver messes up. Other times, hey, the defender, he gets paid too. He makes plays. But it's the decision-making that you have to talk about when it comes to some of these interceptions with Dak Prescott. And I am a little concerned about his decision-making. He has talked about he wants to be aggressive, and I think we all want our quarterbacks to be aggressive to a certain degree. We don't want them to be gunslingers unless the last name is Favre. But you got to slow down a little bit here, QB1, because we're getting to the nitty-gritty of your season, and you still think you're in play for this division title. And if not, then okay, you got to go on the road against Tampa Bay, and they got a Hall of Fame guy on the other end, and they've been in some squally situations. They've been able to win those games this year. We're talking about the Bucs. I am concerned about Dak and his lack of decisions. What I mean by lack of decisions, the lack of making the right decisions. Throw the ball away. Dump it off underneath to Pollard or Zeke or to Schultz underneath if he's open. But the notion that you have to be aggressive just because you want to be aggressive, I don't think that's the right thing to do in this instance. And the numbers are proving that.
I agree. I think we've seen Dak Prescott play aggressive but clean football over the course of his career. So the idea that he's incapable of protecting the football, that's just not realistic. That's not factual based on precedent. But he's just got to get better with the ball in some of the situations. You look at the interception against the Colts and Stephon Gilmore, where he was trying to hit Michael Gallup there. That's a decision that he needs not to make. And so, when Josh Ball allows a quarterback pressure in the fourth quarter against the Texans now, and Prescott gets his arm hit, and that leads to an interception and Houston taking over at the 4-yard line, that is something that can happen without protection. Football. Yeah. So that's less than what we're talking about, but it's more about some of these other picks that have showed up. There's been, a few of those. So yeah, if Dak Prescott can get over that, and he vows that he will, he was very adamant after the game on Sunday that he will be on the right side of protecting the football, that will be certainly one fewer thing for the Cowboys to worry about. T.Y. Hilton, Calvin, that will help. He's 33 years old, 4-time Pro Bowler. The Colts believed he had more left in him. I think the Cowboys obviously were Odell Beckham Jr. minded, but once the physical became what it was and it became clear where not just Odell Beckham Jr.'s body was, but where his mind is too, they became very much pivoting toward Hilton. They were able to sign him to a 1-year deal worth up to $1.5 million. Calvin, I see a deal that makes a whole lot of sense for the Cowboys. A low risk, high reward type of contract.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is, they try to get Odell Beckham. They realize Odell is not ready to play. T.Y. Hilton, who had his own leg issues and back issues in the last year when he played with the Colts, he proved to them that he's healthy enough to play. Now, whether or not T.Y. Hilton is a T.Y. Hilton when he was 24, 25 years of age, that's not happening. But he's a viable option for them. It's an indictment on everybody else on this receiving corps outside of Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb. And if T.Y. Hilton's a better number three than Noah Brown and the other guy, James Washington, and Jalen Tolbert, then so be it. So he does bring something to the table. Will he get 10 catches in the next 4 weeks? Maybe that's a positive. Maybe that's what you would like to get from your third receiver. But in the big picture of things, I wonder what kind of impact he'll have in the playoffs.
I think we're going to see him on the field very soon. You look at the way that his contract structure, it includes each game that he's active as part of the 48-man game day roster, he gets $50,000. If you're a wide receiver, structure that contract, you're expecting to be on the field very, very quickly. So Cowboys are going to acclimate him. He's healthy. He had a workout, which is something Odell Beckham Jr. physically was unable to do. So I am really excited. If nothing else, the greatest contribution that T.Y. Hilton will bring to the Cowboys is people are not going to have to talk so breathlessly about Odell Beckham Jr. being signed here, which I think I speak for a lot of people, am ready for. Just move on from the Beckham conversation.
One of the things, and I think, Michael, you're realizing this, this is, I think, your third year on the Cowboys, maybe fourth year. Fourth year in the Cowboys, and this is probably my, I think, 14th, is that Cowboys fans are enamored with every star player that becomes a free agent because they think they'll sign here. And they think Jerry Jones is George Steinbrenner, that he signs every big-time free agent, and he doesn't. You know, the Cowboys have never been this big-time free agent destination for teams in the last 15 to 20 years. The last big-time free agent they signed was Brandon Carr. And they gave him like a $50.1 million contract. Everything else has been guys have gone to someplace else. So, well, yes, they loved Odell Beckham Jr. and what he could possibly bring. That left knee was always a concern for the Cowboys and other teams. As you saw, you know, he visited two other teams, Buffalo and the Giants. And what did the Bills do? They said, we're going to get Cole Beasley back and bring him out of retirement. The Giants, they're no longer in the playoff picture in a sense. They don't need Odell Beckham. So, Odell, if I was Odell Beckham, and I'm not, I would just wait until the spring when I'm completely healthy and work out for some teams and then get maybe $6 million from some sucker and then prove to that team that you can play and maybe get another contract in 2024. He's almost in this, you know, because of his health and age, he's in a one-year kind of mode. No one's going to give him a 2 or 3 year deal anymore just because of what happened to him. No?
We'll see. I think in March, you know, once he's got this knee well behind him, and hey, even February, he doesn't need to wait until March because he's not waiting for a contract to expire. Contracts, if you're signed in 2022, your contract will be valid until 2023. If Odell Beckham Jr. is unsigned through the playoffs and he gets healthy, he could sign with the Cowboys in February or in early March before the league year opens. So I think the conversation as it pertains to Beckham and the Cowboys is not necessarily going away, but it's going away for now, which for me, I welcome that reprieve. What I also welcome, Calvin, is a chance to get to know players a little bit better, not just them as players, but as people. And I am excited for people to hear this interview with Damone Clark Jr. Our listeners, I believe, will have a much better sense of Damone Clark, how he's wired, and what he plays for. That is coming up next.
You have a 3-year plan and a 30-year plan. At Texas Capital Bank, we've transformed our bank to offer solutions that will grow with you. From enhanced treasury management and corporate banking to personal banking and wealth management, we're dedicated to delivering the full service support you need to secure the growth and success of your business. All from a full service financial firm founded and headquartered in Dallas, Texas. Texas Capital Bank. Member FDIC. TexasCapitalBank.com.
Damone Clark is one of the better stories of this 2022 NFL season. Now, when the Cowboys drafted Clark out of LSU, there was some doubt about his availability due to severe neck injury discovered during a medical exam at the Combine. Now, Clark underwent spinal fusion surgery, and not only has he recovered, but he's become a productive member of this team. Michael Gelkin had a beautiful chat with Clark about his recovery, work ethic, and about getting that call to play in his first NFL game.
Let's start with the work ethic part, Calvin. I asked Damone, where does that come from?
My parents taught me at a young age that, you know, whatever you work, whatever you want, you just got to work for it. So, like, I mean, I know, you know what I'm saying, it's a business, you know what I'm saying? So you got to work every day.
Mm-hmm. Was it as simple as them saying that to you, or was it their own example? Like, did you see a lot of work ethic by example that kind of helped that message drive home for you?
Well, my mom's, man, that's an unbelievable woman. Man. My mom's worked many jobs, you know, and when I started playing Little League football, a lot of times she couldn't come to my games because she was working 2 and 3 jobs. So that defined work for me because she wanted to make sure that she provided for her family.
What kind of jobs is she doing?
My mom, like any job that she could find, she was working at a hotel a lot too. So, you know, working at a hotel, that's when you like cleaning businesses and stuff, and just cleaning buildings and stuff like that. That was my mom. Yeah.
So she's like cleaning rooms in a hotel, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's what she worked.
Yeah, and so when you see that as a kid, How young do you notice that? Like, man, my mom, she works to take care of us. She works to provide.
I started playing football when I was 6. So I say probably when I was like 8, that's when I really started realizing it.
Yeah. And so how then would you describe your approach here? Because even when, there was thought that you might not play at all this season, but you just worked toward that goal. What was your mindset when you got here?
I mean, my mindset was, just go in every day and just work. Just by talking to, the trainers and stuff like that, it was like, it's a chance that you can play this year, and I came in each day, just controlled the things that I could control, and that was my work ethic and my attitude towards it.
Mm-hmm. And can you go into a little bit of detail with that work ethic, working during the weekends, or like, how often were you at the facility? Like, what did that look like for you?
I mean, when I first got here, I was staying at the hotel right there. So, it was easy for me to come over here. So, the biggest thing, whenever I could, rehab and get better, I would just let them know. Just let me know when, and I'm coming. Mm-hmm. Credit to those guys. Those guys came on off days, too, just to help me get better.
Yeah, so off days, like on Sundays, or what are we talking
about? Whatever
here?
I needed. Those guys did it for me.
So you just, yeah.
It's just working, what I'm saying? I wanted to, get back on the field. I'm not looking back, It's not a doubt in my mind that I didn't make the right decision for myself.
Yeah. How long is that walk from the hotel to facility?
It's I'd probably say a 4-minute walk.
Okay.
So it's right there. So, it's easy to come from right across the street.
No excuses, right?
Yeah. No excuses at all, man. That's why I say, just the way I grew up and the way that my parents taught me, work, and that's just something that stuck with me. I played Little League football. In Baton Rouge, South Baton Rouge Jaguars, and our motto was, if you don't work, you don't eat. So, I go with that motto now, if you don't work, you don't eat. If I don't work, if I don't go to work every day, I ain't gonna be able to feed my daughter.
Yeah.
And that's just the mindset that I look at it as.
Yeah, how old's your daughter?
2 years old.
Okay, so she's been very much an influence for you. Yeah. I can't imagine how she couldn't be, right?
That's my biggest motivation, I don't know if you have kids, but you're a man at the end of the day. You don't want nobody to, take care of your responsibilities. So that's how I look at it, too. I don't want nobody else to take care of my daughter. So I'm going to do what I got to do to take care of her.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if you don't work, you don't eat?
Yeah, if you don't work, you don't eat.
You heard that when you were six, that young?
Just playing with the South Baton Rouge Jaguars. Yeah, Terry Boyd. Coach Terry Boyd, man. He the one that, he told us that. And that was the motto all the way through for me. If you don't work, you don't eat.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You working now alongside Leighton Vander Esch, who, among others, but he's unique. He's done what you're doing right now. Like, he's gone through this rehab. He's had that spinal fusion surgery to the neck. What sort of resource did he become for you once you got here?
When I got here, he was one of the advocates for me, just telling me, I know it's tough right now. He said, I know it's uncomfortable for you, but he was like, just keep working every day. And he was a positive motivation in my ear. He told me every day, just keep working, your time will come. And my time came here, and he's been like one of my biggest supporters, honestly. He's been one of the biggest supporters, both on and off the field. And if I have questions or something about film, I just send him a video. I video and I send it to him.
You text message it to him?
Yeah, and I text message it to him, and he send it back to me. So that's a guy that, he's been one of my biggest resources here for me. Just the leadership that he supplied towards me, I'm grateful for it.
So you'll send film of, an upcoming opponent, or would it be your own personal film, or of an opponent?
I mean, it's anything. Whatever I feel like, if it's something that I need to get better at, he's transparent with me. All the linebackers transparent. They just, they tell like it is. It's one big family now. We all want to get better. We all got one goal, and that's to win.
No doubt. What's the best advice Leighton has given to you about just going through the process that you went through with the surgery?
Just trust the process. It was a tough process. It was days that, it was days I'm like, what am I doing? But like I said, if you don't work, you don't eat. I think about my daughter all the time. If I don't do it, then who will?
What's your daughter's name?
Dakota.
Dakota?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful name. What's she like? Is she pretty aware of just the fact that you're, in the NFL and all that?
I feel like she know, one thing, she do know I play football, so every time there's a game on, she see a football game, and she's like, Dad, she know, I don't think she know the full ins and outs of everything. I don't think she know, she just know that she don't see me all the time,
Right.
And that's one of the toughest things, too, that my daughter 2 years old, so she's, learning. She learned a lot, and I don't see her every day. The only time I see her when I call on FaceTime. So,
right.
But she know most of it, and she know that, Dad play football, and she know, she know how my house look. When she pull up to the house, like, that house. Like, she know exactly, you know what I'm saying? So that was brings comfort to my heart, and that what makes my heart warm, that I know that, you know, I'm able to provide for my daughter, even though, you know, I don't see my daughter all the time. Only time I really see her is through FaceTime.
Yeah. Were you able to see her? When was the last time you were able to see her in person?
No, she was just here for Thanksgiving.
I was hoping
she was
so.
She was just here for Thanksgiving.
How was that for you?
Oh, man, it was great. But I'm not going to lie, I'm working on my patience with her. She's 2 years old, so, you know, that's just credit to my mom. Like, my mom's like a big supporter for me. Like, my mom's helped me with whatever I need. You know, my mom's there just, you know, helping with my daughter, because, you know, I've been at, you know, I go from practice, and then you got to go from practice to turn to a dad, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's the tough part, but, I mean, it's tough, but it's enjoyable. Like, I love being a dad, and I love being a football player, and just being able to go home and, you know, after maybe my day at work wasn't good, but I still got to go home and, you know, spend time with my daughter.
No
you know
doubt.
What I'm saying? That's one of the biggest things, and that would really warm my heart, being able to do that. But she's 2 years old, so that comes with things that a two-year-old do. And, I mean, I get mad, but I can't get mad, because I remember I was 2 years old at one time.
Right, no doubt.
From my understanding, from my parents, that I was worse than that. So, I can't do
She gets it from
smile.
Someone, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does your daughter live Dakota? She live in Louisiana?
Yeah, she live in Louisiana.
The first game for which you were active, Chicago, I believe.
Yeah.
You were preparing for a special teams role. I guess the Cowboys were preparing.
Get
your feet wet a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hadn't played all in the spring, none in the training camp, none in the preseason, none in the first several weeks of the year.
Yeah.
Anthony gets the hamstring in the first half. You play, I believe it was 40 defensive snaps, maybe even more than that, right around that neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's.
I'm not sure how many.
Yeah.
How many snaps it was, but yeah, it was around that.
What was, talk about kind of just being thrown in, but what was that experience like for you, and how did it feel going through from kind of 0 to 60?
I mean, honestly, at first when he went down, like, I'm standing out looking, and then I just heard George screaming my name. He was like, Damone, like, Damone, go. So I'm looking at him, he like, go. So I'm like, hey, it's my opportunity, man. It is what it is. Like, I just ran out there, you know. That was my first live snaps.
Right.
Of my, you know, NFL career, you know, and I mean, I was nervous, but after the first drive, I'm like, I'm just a little kid playing football again, you know what I'm saying? That's how I went back when I first started playing football at the age of 6. You know, I just went back to that time. You just playing the game that you love playing since you were 6 years old.
Does that help with just keeping that perspective of just like, don't make it bigger than what it is? It's still football. It's still a game. It's what I'm paid to do, but it's what I love to do.
Yeah, man. Like you said it. You hit it on the nail. But he said, don't make it bigger than it is. You know, so if you go out there, you know, thinking too much, thinking about, oh, this and that, that and that, then that makes you play slow. But if you go out there and just, you know, we sit here, own the moment. If you go out there and just own the moment, everything going to be all right. Because, like, at the end of the day, it's football.
No doubt.
Like, I've been playing football since I was 6. I'm 22 years old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I've been doing it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Last question, talking about owning the moment. Do you have a favorite moment so far of your rookie season in the NFL?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. This may sound like crazy, but like just being able just to step on the field, you know, no matter if it's special teams, on defense, just being able to step on the field, you know, that's the biggest highlight for me, you know, because I know, like, you know, a lot of people might have counted me out this year.
Yeah.
You know, saying, oh, he'll be back next year.
I didn't think you were playing.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
Other teams didn't think you were playing.
You know what I'm saying? Just being able to get on the field, you know, I'm thankful. You know, and I thank God every day for it, that I have the chance to get on the field this year, knowing, you know, I just had a spinal fusion done or whatever. So it's not a moment that don't go by that I don't thank God for being on the field. You know, one thing I do every time before I step on the field, you know, I give glory to God every time before I step on the field. It don't matter. Like, I can go out there. It could be going out there on a special teams route. I just do the cross, blessings to God, go on the field. Defense, go on the field, do my cross, blessings to God, every time.
That's awesome.
Every drive, that's what I do.
When did you start that?
I mean, really, my parents is big on faith, you know, so growing up, you know, my parents, you know, they took me to church. You know, they did things that helped me, mold me to be the man that I am, you know, and I have my mentor, his name Floyd Prescott. That's another person from LSU. Mm-hmm. That's another guy that, you know, got me closer with God. Got me, you know, I read every morning before I do anything in the morning. I get on my knees and I pray. I do my daily readings in the morning. Before I go to sleep, I pray. Throughout the day, I pray. I wouldn't be in this position right now without God. And, you know, I just got to give him the glory because I'm a vessel through God.
Yeah.
Just being able to, you know, God on the field. And, yeah, I have the athletic abilities, but it's through God. I'm glorifying God through my athletic abilities.
A prayer when that when you initially were told you had, what did they tell you? You had?
Spinal. It was a herniated disc.
You remember what vertebrae? Or?
C3, C4.
C3, C4?
Yeah.
When you learned that in Indianapolis at the Combine, how quickly did you turn to prayer, kind of help you get through?
I mean, it was tough on me because I was preparing to go out there and perform, you know, in front of all the scouts and
right.
front of all the GMs and stuff like that. I was going out there to, you know, get ready to go out there and perform. And you know, when they told me that, like, I was shocked, you know, but I called my agent, David Mulugeta, and he told me, he was like, man, we're going to handle that later on. Go out there and put on the show, do what you do. And I just went out there and, you know, made the most of the opportunity, knowing in the back of my head what they was telling me. But like I said, before, when they told me that, I just prayed to God. I said, God, I'm leaving it in your hands. Whatever it is, everything happened for a reason. And I just went out there and just performed.
Some people might not have worked out in that situation, right?
Yeah, I mean, one thing, I went there to put on the show, and I went there to show my abilities, and that's what I was going to do.
Calvin, there's a number at LSU, and our thanks again to Damone for having joined us, a number at LSU that means a whole lot over there, and it's the number 18. They assign it sometimes to multiple players in a given season. It represents the qualities that the program holds dearest. And Damone Clark wore number 18 at LSU. And the way that people talk about Damone, the way that you just heard Damone talk about his priorities, his daughter, his work ethic, and, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat, you can see why that number suited him. And you can see why, to a man, I talked to coaches about Damone Clark. I talked to teammates about Damone. Dak Prescott said the only player who was working in the offseason as hard as he was Damone Clark. And so for a rookie to be able to create that level of respect this soon, it speaks volumes to the player and more so the person that Damone Clark is.
Yeah, one of the best things I liked about the interviews when you were talking to him about where'd you get that work ethic from, he said, my mom. She worked two or three jobs. She worked at a hotel, cleaning rooms and that kind of thing. And that's real work, man. That's working. You know, that's blue collar stuff right there. And, you know, we talk about Mike McCarthy being a blue collar guy because his parents, they owned a bar and grew up in Pittsburgh, the steel mill, the whole thing. And Damone Clark, Mike McCarthy, guys like that, that just brings a team together, good chemistry. You like hearing those types of stories. And I remember when Damone Clark was drafted, and you hear about the type of surgery he had, you go, man, he's not playing this year. But then Leighton Van Der Esch had a similar surgery, and him and Van Der Esch have bonded together on just their work ethic and recovering from spinal fusion surgery. It sounds serious, but it really isn't. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is and it isn't.
Well, it is. Yeah. Theoretically, if you've had one spinal fusion surgery and you get hit in a wrong way and you need to have a second spinal fusion surgery or second, you would, you know, something happens, it happens similarly, that's the end of your NFL career. You don't get multiple procedures like this and go back to running 19 miles per hour and head on with a pulling guard. Those days are over for you.
But the fact that you do get the surgery is hope that you can come back and play.
Yes.
That's what I mean, right? It's not like you have to have this surgery to live. You have to have this surgery to play a game where it's a car wreck every other play, you know? So, but yeah, it's just a tremendous, I mean, we've always loved his story, and I'm glad you had a chance to spend some time with him for a couple of minutes. But you know what, Michael?
Yes, I'm here.
Went somewhere. Is it time to eat the cheese? We're going to talk about what that means when Sports Day Cowboys returns.
Hey, listeners. This is Damon Marks. I'm the Cowboys editor for the Dallas Morning News. That includes the Sports Day Cowboys podcast that you're listening to right now. What I love about this beat is the nonstop news cycle that is the Dallas Cowboys. But beyond that daily adrenaline rush, being able to reveal the human side of the players you watch on TV is a privilege. Calvin and Michael talk to these players each week to bring you the behind-the-scenes stories that you can't get anywhere else. If you want to support this good work, it's easy. Just subscribe to the Dallas Morning News and become a member. You'll find a special offer just for listeners at dallasnews.com/listen.
Sunday, the Cowboys will visit the Jaguars, a team that's rebuilding with a Super Bowl winning coach and a former number one pick in Trevor Lawrence, who's really going through another rookie season. Michael, is this another trap game for the Cowboys?
Oh, boy. So there's something to unpack there. You're talking all about this eat the cheese thing and where that comes from. You know, if you're the Cowboys and you're going against a team with a lowly record, you eat the cheese would be, it means you've overlooked your opponent on account of that record, and you've bought into all the hype of people on the outside telling you that you're supposed to blow the door down against this team, and you don't work as hard, you have a letdown. That's essentially what taking the cheese means. Can we agree on that definition, Calvin?
Eating the cheese is, this is a team that you should be defeating by, you know, at least a touchdown or more. You've allowed yourself to get beaten by said team, or you've allowed yourself to be in a close combative game with the team you should be blowing out, which was the case last week when the Cowboys played the Texans. The Cowboys were a 17.5-point favorite, and in the fourth quarter of that game, they were losing. And they needed a 98-yard drive in the fourth quarter with some magic from Dak Prescott, Dalton Schultz, to win that game. And now here we got the Jaguars, who are a much better team than the Texans, and another game where it's a trap game because the next week, Christmas Eve, they got the Eagles in the NFC East Championship game. So the Cowboys got to get their act together, man. No, I'm going to let you go because you want to talk. I was going to sit back and let you go. You go.
Do you believe that the Cowboys were losing in the fourth quarter to the Houston Texans because they took them lightly and they ate the cheese?
Yes. 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 Kevontae Turpin had muffed one punt all year. He muffs a punt in this game. We've talked about Dak Prescott protecting the football. Didn't protect the ball the way he needed to. Now, they had some health issues. They lose Terrence Steele. We get that. That's part of the drill. The Texans lost their rookie running back in that game as well. Everybody gets hurt. But the Cowboys, on paper and on the field, skill-wise, were a better team. And they messed around and almost lost that game.
I just don't think that Kevontae Turpin muffed the punt because he ate the cheese, because it was the Houston Texans. I think he muffed the punt because of the way the ball traveled and whatever it was pertaining to the ball in the air, and not anything to do with the opponent or its record. Likewise, Dak Prescott threw an interception, made a poor judgment decision, he said post-game, on that first pick that he had of two of them. That was something that he's done before this season, not because it was the Houston Texans, but because it happens. To me, the Cowboys were barely squeaking by that game because of the way that they played, the way that they failed to execute, not anything to do with the Houston Texans, you know, not being taken seriously enough. Likewise, you're talking about whether or not they might take the cheese or it's just another trap game against the Jaguars. The Jaguars are coming off a game here where they went to Nashville and beat the Tennessee Titans 36-22. The Jaguars have won two of their past three games. So I don't believe the Cowboys took the Texans lightly, and that was the reason why that they were losing late in that game. And I certainly don't believe that after that Texans game, the Cowboys, having seen recent film, the Jaguars are going to take now the Jaguars lightly. I just don't think that's the narrative for this game.
Well, the Jaguars started the season 2-6. I think they had a five-game losing streak. I mean, they lost to the Texans. They gave up 40 points to the Lions. You know, you said they've won two of their last three. They got beat 40-14 by the Lions. Okay? So there's something to be said for how you win ball games. So last weekend, Dallas played Houston, right?
Yeah.
The New York Giants played the Philadelphia Eagles, right?
Correct.
The Eagles beat the mess out of the Giants. You know, the Eagles are telling people, we're a Super Bowl contender. We're going to win this division. We got the MVP candidate on our football team. The Cowboys went in at home, two touchdown favorite, and messed around and barely beat the Texans. When you look at the seasons and the trajectory of the Eagles and the Cowboys, and after you looked at that weekend, you would have to say to yourself, I think the Eagles are Super Bowl contenders. The Cowboys, I don't know.
You and I, Calvin, we have our I Disagree segment. It's usually around this time of the show. We specifically didn't have an I Disagree. We're just going to talk about this one thing, but I cannot help but disagree with you with just about everything that you're saying. I mean, it's such a week-to-week view of the league. One, this sort of thing can happen where a game that was thought to be a blowout turns out to be tightly contested. That happens. You're talking about because of the Eagles blowing the door off the Giants while the Cowboys struggled against Texans. That means that one is making some sort of statement that they're Super Bowl ready while the other one isn't. Well, then what do you make of the Cowboys the previous week winning 54-19 against the Colts? And a few weeks earlier, the Eagles beat the Colts 17-16, a one-point game. What does that tell you about where the Cowboys and the Eagles are respectively in their Super Bowl aspirations? I don't think we can make that much over one single game or one matchup or performance against a single opponent. There's a bigger picture. It's the NFL. Things can happen over the course of game, which is what we saw. Are the Cowboys more talented than the Houston Texans? I think it's clear. I don't think it's close despite the margin of that game. But can a more talented team shoot itself in the foot a number of times, pre-snap penalties, turnovers, horrible mismatch as relates to field position, and then suddenly it's a tight game? Yeah, and we saw that. The Cowboys turned the ball over three times inside their own 30-yard line. The first two were two touchdowns. The third one, what good teams do, they find a way to win. They gave the ball to the Texans at the four-yard line, made a goal line stand. Carlos Watkins played out his mind with a hustle play on that second down. Shouldn't be overlooked at all. I can't talk about that play enough. But it's not just one game that determines whether or not the Cowboys are these Super Bowl contenders. To me, the Texans didn't move the needle as it relates to that conversation. It's just a reminder of the reality of the NFL that any given week, something like that can happen.
But if you want to be taken seriously as a contender,
What does it matter? Who takes you seriously? Just win games. And people don't need to take you seriously along the way. Perception doesn't matter. Just win your football games, get to January, win a few more, and then people will take you seriously if you continue doing that.
Can I ask you a question?
All right, we're running out of time here. Running out of patience.
We're running out of patience and time? I mean, I got a question, a quick question. Minnesota Vikings, right?
I remember them.
The Vikings, they were in a lot of one-score games. They were a scrappy team. They were fighting to get by, right? Then here come the Cowboys into their stadium. The Cowboys beat their behind pretty good. Remember that game? We were there.
40-3, yeah.
40-3. And now our perception of the Vikings is a little different now because we said, man, we thought this was a really good team. They were home against the Cowboys. Here was a chance for them to make a statement. Nope. I can't believe it. I don't believe in them now. Don't believe in them. And they have not been the same since. Cowboys lose to the Packers in overtime, a game they should have won. And that changed the perception of the Cowboys as well because we were like, man, you can't even beat the Packers? I mean, this was Mike McCarthy's game. This was the game you were supposed to win, and you didn't win for your guy? Perception changes, man. Perception is everything. And the Cowboys are not a legit Super Bowl contender. They're just not right now.
Perception is everything. I cannot believe you said that. Perception does not win playoff games. I don't think this conversation is going to progress any further than it has. We weren't competing. It wasn't I Disagree. Yet I feel like I won. That's all the time we have for Sports Day Cowboys this week. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
The show is produced by Damon Marks, and you can stay up to date on every episode by following Sports Day Cowboys wherever you get your audio, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also find the show by following the Dallas Morning News in those same players.
You can also find links to everything we do at dallasnews.com/listen, and you'll find a special membership offer there just for listeners. Please send us your voice memos. We love them. We're just going to plug in your audio. You ask this question. Keep it tight, 20, 30 seconds, and send it to DMN Cowboys, Dallas Morning News, DMNCowboys@dallasnews.com. For the news, I'm Michael Gelkin.
And I'm Calvin Watkins. We'll see you next week.